Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you a hearty welcome to the continued study of the prophecy of Jonah. We have now reached the third chapter in this book. In the first chapter, we considered Jonah as a disobedient prophet, in the storm and fleeing from the presence of the Lord. In chapter 2, we found Jonah to be a chastened prophet, inside the great fish, praying unto the Lord. We now begin the consideration of chapter 3, where we shall find Jonah as a successful prophet within the great city of Nineveh, speaking for the Lord. The chapter opens in verses 1 and 2, where we find the renewed commission of God given to the prophet. And these are the words: "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." We must first of all realize that the purpose of the Lord in chastening his servant Jonah was to make him more useful for the specific word which God had told him to preach and the work to which he had been called. The call to preach in Nineveh comes the second time, for God in marvelous grace recommissioned his servant. In doing this, we ourselves can recognize that our God gives his children renewed opportunities to serve him, even though we may have been unwilling and disobedient. Peter the Apostle, Mark, the servant of God also, in the New Testament, are both examples of this fact. For they failed the Lord, but were later restored to faithful service. So may we ourselves take heart and courage, and permit the Lord to restore us if necessary, and recommission us to a renewed and faithful service for him. We should thank God for his grace, even to his unfaithful servants, that he is willing to give them the message the second time. The great city of Nineveh is the appointed place for Jonah's message. In verse 2 of our chapter, it is called that great city. Some ancient authorities declare it was 60 miles in circumference, a city that was even much larger than Babylon the Great. The walls of the city were 100 feet high. They were broad enough upon the top to allow 3 chariots to ride abreast. There were 1,500 towers with great height over the city. And according to chapter 4 and verse 11 of Jonah's prophecy, there were 120,000 children alone in the city. Therefore, the city may have possessed somewhat upward from 600,000 to 1,000,000 inhabitants. It was no small city, and God's message was sent to it, a message of warning and judgment, as well as of concern for the people. In verse 3 of our chapter in Jonah, chapter 3, we read the message: "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh." How different the record is now. Jonah is readily obedient, and he does as the Lord commands. If only we, who claim to be followers of Christ, were obedient to the will of God instead of being like Jonah was in his disobedience. Jonah is now a living example of God's mercy, having, through repentance, received the declaration again to go to the city of Nineveh and preach. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus declared that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. Well might he be a sign, for had he not himself been saved from death And now he becomes a sign to the people of Nineveh of God's mercy. So God emphasizes the great size of Nineveh in verse 4 again. As he declares, Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Verse 3, we noted, records that Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. We may readily recognize that it would be approximately 60 miles across it. For as Jonah journeyed into the city, he preached his message of warning and judgment. Very brief, very short, saying, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." How many places within that city he may have stopped, we have no way of knowing. But as he went along, he delivered his God-given message, and it was a message of imminent judgment from God. There are many scoffers and skeptics who may ask how Jonah could have preached to a people whom he did not know and have them understand his preaching. May we not forget that it could easily be that Jonah himself knew the language of the Assyrians? For we have in Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 11 very definite evidence that the Jews did understand the Assyrian language. But now let us consider God's words of warning very carefully. "Yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown." This was a message of approaching judgment, indicating a short period would elapse before that judgment would fall. 40 days. We may question, why 40 days? Why not in 1 day? Why not in 10? Why not in 20? The very fact that God said 40 days was a proof of his mercy and of his grace. For the 40 days gave space for very serious reflection and possible repentance upon the part of the Ninevites. God would test the people in relation to their responsibility toward this pronouncement of judgment. You may have often noticed, as I have, that the numeral 40 in the Word of God is frequently employed and always in relation to testing. You may remember that in Genesis chapter 7, where we have recorded the great flood in the days of Noah, that the waters of the deep, as well as the heavens, poured down their rain for 40 days and 40 nights upon the earth. Even Moses, if you may recall, in his history in the wilderness, more than once was 40 days upon Mount Sinai, as recorded in the book of Exodus. Elijah, too, had to travel on one occasion, according to 1 Kings chapter 19, 40 days until he came to Mount Horeb. And I'm sure that we well remember, if we know the New Testament, that our Lord Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness by Satan, according to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, what did God intend doing at the end of these 40 days? Nineveh shall be overthrown. I would like you to dwell with me on the meaning of that word, overthrown. You will find it to be the same word that was used on a historic occasion many years before, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, as you may find it in Genesis chapter 19 recorded. We read in that account that God overthrew the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19 and verse 28. It was complete destruction. So God threatened to turn the city of Nineveh upside down and destroy it from its very foundations. Now, my radio listeners, let us not minimize the warning of judgment that God gave to the city of Nineveh and its inhabitants, but also be reminded that according to the word of God, there is yet to come upon the world at large universal judgment, in which many of the cities of the nations will be overthrown and destroyed. You have but to read the book of the Revelation, and you will realize that unprecedented judgment and terrific destruction is yet to fall upon the whole world. May I repeat that, please? Oh, I wish to be faithful to the truth of God. We are dealing in the story of Jonah with just one city, but may we reflect with realization and serious consideration, the word of God very plainly declares that the whole world is yet to be visited by his divine judgment. And who can measure the righteous anger and the righteous wrath of God, which is ultimately and perhaps very soon to be poured out upon this sin-loving, Christ-rejecting, God-hating world? We would be very faithful as Jonah was when he went through the city to declare that the judgments of God are righteous and they are fast approaching. Now this brings before us the necessity of reminding our unsaved listeners that the warning of coming judgment is a message of God's love and grace to you, advising you and seeking to bring you to the knowledge of salvation before it may be ever too late. When God preaches judgment, it is a warning that you may flee from that. Well, did the Savior say, flee from the wrath to come? My beloved radio listener, without Christ, may I be faithful to declare the word of God substantiates the fact judgment is coming ahead. Come to the Savior. Find him as your own today and be saved. Bless thy word, O Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, for his glory. Amen.